In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us unite our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Almighty Creator, Thou who has created the universe, the earth, and all living things, and has gifted life unto us, our dear Heavenly Father, we humbly approach you this morning, simply asking, dear Father, uplift and comfort us. We who so oftentimes struggle in this lot in our life, struggle over many things, oftentimes weighed down and burdened, oftentimes doubting. And yet we ask, dear Father, simply to increase our faith. Grant unto us this day and all the days of our life the joy of Thy Christmas gospel message. Dear Father, instill in us the heart of a child. Instill in us joy over this miracle and blessing that Thou hast gifted us with, that we are called Thy children, and that we are safe and secure here in Thy kingdom. And we simply ask, dear Father, preserve us here in the place of a child. Grant unto us this morning words of comfort, instruction, wherever Thy word is spoken this day. Open Thy word, dear Father, feed and nourish us. And we thank You for this greatest gift, Thy beloved Son, who was born there in Bethlehem. And we pray as He has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We've heard very preciously during these days of Christmas, surrounding the happenings of this time. And yet, I think it's important still to gather around that stable yet today. And so we'll read from the Gospel of St. Matthew from its second chapter, of that time when those wise men came from the east also to behold the King of Kings. And these words are in Jesus' name as follows. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privy, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for this young child. And when he had found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. I think all of us with much anticipation had waited for Christmas Eve day and Christmas to arrive, and now once again it has come and it has passed. Now we are waiting for the end of the old year and the beginning of the new year. Another year has passed. It's important, dear brothers and sisters, that we would endeavor to celebrate the birth of our Lord, and as we sang in that last song, indeed, our brother. Each day. To remember that miraculous gift that God has given unto us. And yet, I dare say that I believe even among those believers of that day were surprised at the lowly birth of the King of Kings. Mary and Joseph themselves were very poor. They didn't have much. Bethlehem, the prophet Micah, when he prophesies of that place where Jesus was to be born, called it the least of all the villages. In our text here, we heard read of, well, as the Bible says, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Tradition relates that it was three. History and tradition even have a name unto these men. The Bible doesn't speak much of the visit of the wise men. What we read heard here is what the Bible speaks unto us of these Gentiles who came to see Jesus. They came far from the east. And yet it's not surprising. Indeed, It was faith. It was living faith that caused them to bow before the Lord Jesus and to begin to praise God. How then did they have this? They were from the Far East. They weren't even of the Jewish heritage. And race. The Bible relates of, in the historical books, how many of the Jews were taken captive during their wars with Persia, far to the east, among them believing children of God. These kings somehow came into contact with those children of God. They knew of that portion in the prophets where he speaks of that star. Tradition relates also that they, well, Bible says they were wise men, so then they had been learned and taught in many of the things of that time. Among them, also the study of the stars. And indeed, when they saw this star, it was the brightest thing that anyone had ever seen in the heavens. And yet, faith guided them to follow this star to the east. And it was a long and difficult journey that they came on. And as they neared Israel and entered into the land of Israel and were coming nigh unto Jerusalem, I suppose even in that day at night, with their torches burning and candles, perhaps they saw the glow of the city before they came onto it. But what happened is that they lost sight of the star. Well, one would think, you know, with the temporal mind and understanding, that of course the King of Kings would be born in Jerusalem. So on one hand, then what purpose then at that point was the star when they were seeing the lights of the city of Jerusalem? And so they then with their wisdom of their mind entered through the gates of Jerusalem looking for the Lord Jesus. That wouldn't be so unusual. And then they begin asking the people, "Where is he that is born the King of Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Of course, the word got to the king, King Herod, very quickly. And it says here that when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And amazingly it says, "And all Jerusalem with him." Well, Herod had reason to be troubled. He wasn't of the lineage of David. He was from the Edomite tribe. He feared for his position as of king. He was troubled. What is this talk of the King of Kings being born? He was king. And that night when that glorious message came from our Heavenly Father unto the believers here upon the earth, namely the shepherds, they brought the message of the birth of Christ. And the Bible explains how then a vast multitude of angels descended And that darkness of the night was made incredibly light. And the glory of heaven shone round about them. And the angels, the tens of thousands of angels, began to sing and to rejoice and to praise God for this. What had happened there in that little village of Bethlehem, in that old, cold, drafty stable, the King of Kings had been born. So King Herod and those in Jerusalem slept. They didn't hear the praising and singing of those thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. No, they were sleeping. Why then, dear brothers and sisters, was the King of Kings born in this way and under these conditions? You know, some 30 years later, when Jesus began the work of our Heavenly Father in a public way, I'm sure He did much before then. It's not recorded. Other than the fact when He was He 12 years old when they came to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem, and the family traveled with a caravan, and then the celebration ended and the caravan then left Jerusalem, and Mary and Joseph and the family thought that Jesus was somewhere there amongst the peoples in the caravan as they were returning home. And it was several days later, or at some time passed, before they realized that He is not here. And so Mary and Joseph had to return back to Jerusalem. And it was a number of days before they found Him in a temple. And an amazing thing had happened there. Jesus was speaking concerning God's Word. He was speaking with the high priest and the scribes, and they were utterly amazed at what this young boy was saying there in the temple. It was beyond them as He sat and taught them. Mary and Joseph were naturally, well, initially frightened and then disappointed and perhaps impatient. Mary and Joseph, they were like you and I are. Carry flesh. Oftentimes we're impatient and we become angry and disappointed and disillusioned and doubt-ridden and all these things that come from the flesh. And they asked Jesus, their child, what are you doing? And Jesus very, very gently reminded them, going about His Father's business. But 30 some years after, when Jesus was born, when He began to preach, the message, the gospel message of our Heavenly Father, it was such a message that it caused everybody to stop and listen, because it was something that they had not heard. Yes, John the Baptist prepared the way unto our Lord Jesus, and he also preached that message of the gospel. But he always reminded, there comes one after me whose shoelaces I'm not worthy even to tie them. And when John the Baptist then baptized Jesus, there was in a visible manner this dove, the living Holy Spirit of God that descended. A sign from heaven. But when Jesus began to preach, it was a very sweet, very encouraging, very comforting, very uplifting message. It was a message that encouraged one to come. And as we read in the Gospels concerning this work of our Lord Jesus, we very quickly see how the poor and the wretched and the lowly and the diseased and the crippled and the blind and the dumb, they are the ones who came to Jesus. They very freely came unto Him. This is why Jesus came here to the earth in such a lowly, lowly form and fashion, so that anybody can freely approach unto Him. Even in Matthew, when we read concerning this beginning, we could go to the 4th chapter, the 17th verse, and from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And it says here in the 23rd verse, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them. And it says, and there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. This is the kind of Lord Jesus we have here. Yes, here upon the earth today. Not much has changed. He lay there in that crude manger, in that humble stable, in that lowly village of Bethlehem, surrounded by the shepherds, the lowest of all. Not much has changed. Where is Jesus found today, dear brothers and sisters? He is found in the poor and the weak and the maimed, the crippled and diseased and ill, those believing children of God who are endeavoring to cling to this gift of living faith. Yes, Jesus is found in the hearts of His own. And how does this kingdom of heaven appear unto those on the outside? Oh, it is a lowly place. It's a cold and drafty stable unto them. It's not very beautiful to behold, but it is very easy to approach one who is lost and in the darkness of unbelief and distressed in the midst of sin. It is very easy to approach, for the Lord Jesus is always encouraging to come this way. Simply believe, repent of unbelief and all sin, and believe the gospel that your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And so we see not much has changed. The work of the Lord Jesus continues today here in this kingdom of heaven, on this darkened, unbelieving earth that we live. But yet the kingdom of God and a joyous message of Christmas has gone forth since some 2,000 years ago when that first message came from God Himself through His angels. This same message has been repeated again and again and again. And the lowly shepherds have gathered together and saying praises of thanksgiving unto the Heavenly Father. For indeed, we are but lowly shepherds here in God's kingdom. But we have the Lord Jesus, who is our brother and our Father in heaven, the creator of the universe and all living things. He is our dear Heavenly Father, and we can approach Him so easily and so comfortably. So then when the wise men were in Jerusalem, I'm sure they were amazed too, when nobody knew of the birth of Jesus. I'm sure they were doubt-ridden that I'm sure they were doubt-ridden there in Jerusalem. But remember, dear brother and sister, that it was their reason and their wisdom then that brought them to Jerusalem. We cannot approach our Lord Jesus with our mind and our wisdom and our understanding. No. We need to humble ourselves. We need to bow down to enter into that stable and bow before the Lord, the baby, the Lord Jesus there. We need to completely humble ourselves. But yet, it is so comforting that anybody in a dark and unbelieving world is able to do this. To approach the Lord Jesus. He is so easy to approach. But one only needs to humble himself. And the only place where this Christ child is found is here in God's kingdom. He is found in the hearts of every little child and every mother and father and every brother and sister and grandmother and grandfather. He is very near. And so the wise men, they questioned. But to me it's comforting. To me it's comforting that it was wise men that came from the east. They were wise in the ways of society. But dear brother and sister, they were wise in the simplicity of living faith. They had found living faith. And that star of Bethlehem, what is the star of Bethlehem? That's the living word of our Heavenly Father. It's that living word through the Holy Spirit that gives light unto anybody who is seeking and searching. It gives light unto us. Boys and girls, you have a beautiful lighted way all the way to heaven before you. Every one of us does. This glorious, beautiful lit way of heaven. Through the light of the Holy Spirit, through His living Word. The prophets even have testified unto us that not even a fool will be led astray. No, not even the most lowest and the most poorest and the least understanding. No, he will not be led astray from God's kingdom, from living faith. No. This is the kind of Heavenly Father we have here. And so what's required of us? Oh, the prophet Micah, he asked that question. And it's recorded in this way there that he was wondering how can he approach the Lord Jesus. Or how does one approach that manger? And he says that in the sixth chapter of Micah, in the sixth verse, it says here in this way that, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? How and with what should I approach Him? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And then he answers and he says very simply, He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee? This is all that he desires, is for us to believe, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. That's all. That's all that's required of us, is to humble ourselves. And Jesus taught so preciously that when he was speaking on that Sermon on the Mount, and he was speaking of the of those temporal things of this life, you know, our food and our clothes and all those things that we need in this temporal life. But he said, but before any of that, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else shall be added unto you. Dear brother and sister, there were hundreds and perhaps thousands of unbelievers in that crowd when they were listening to these words of Jesus, and yet there was many, many believers there that were listening. He was speaking both to the believer and to the unbeliever. How important it is in our life that we seek ye first the kingdom of God. Always that we would seek ye first the kingdom of God. And again, I remember that child when he was reciting the Lord's Prayer, and you know, the faith and the simplicity of the child, and when he read, you know, give us this day our daily bread, and then he continued himself, he says, and if one isn't enough, please give us two. And he continued the prayer. But that is the faith of a child. And that is how we are encouraged to endeavor here in living faith, with this faith of a child. And so those wise men then, well, they were temporally very rich. That one song sings of we three kings of Orient art. They were wise. And so they were noticed when they entered into Jerusalem. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. And very quickly the king then told his people to go get these wise men. But before that, he told his counselors and those around him, what is this? The King of Kings. What is this? And where is he born? And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Of course, they open up the Holy Bible there in Micah, the 5th chapter, the 2nd verse, that relates unto us exactly where Jesus was going to be born. And it speaks of Bethlehem as one of the least, one of the lowest. Then the king got rid of his scribes and high priests and counselors and cleared the palace, that room, and then he gathered the three wise men there. And now he sits down with the three wise men, pretending all humility and grace. He says, and Herod, when he had privy called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And something miraculous happened. The gates of the city of Jerusalem closed behind them, and their caravan was going again into the darkness of the night. And the star of Bethlehem appeared before them. Doubts had vanished. And once again, the living word of our Heavenly Father led them. And once again, all of Jerusalem swept. Why didn't, dear brother and sister, the high priest, the scribes, anyone, the king himself, why did not anyone go with the wise men to seek Jesus? Well, on one hand, they really didn't believe the message. On the other hand, they were in unbelief and had no need of the Lord Jesus. It was the three wise men when the gates of Jerusalem closed that continued on the way. And lo, the star appeared before them. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced and were exceeding great joy. With exceeding great joy. Yes. Yes. The living Word of God, it warms our cold hearts. It brings comfort. It brings reassurance. It brings, it renews strength. James writes in this way. Speaking of God's Word and the wisdom of God's Word, he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, yes, then peaceable. Yes, God's Word brings peace. It's very gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good fruits and without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is God's Word. But before this, our Heavenly Father reminds us in this way. He said, but if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So if there's strife in one's heart, and it says, this strife and envy, now it's speaking of strife and envy, and it says, this wisdom of man descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Strife is devilish. It's of the devil. Envying is of the devil. And it says here, and where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Dear brother and sister, it is so important. It is so incredibly important unto us that when our brother offend us and strife comes in whatever way Satan may bring it unto us in our home, husband, mother and father, children, youth, believing friends, brothers and sisters in living faith, when Satan brings in a little strife, it is a terribly powerful weapon that he is using. This tiny, tiny bit of strife that he may bring into our life, it is directly from Satan, the devil. And with this strife comes confusion and every evil work. And that is why it is so important that when strife and offense comes at all, that we see ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, that we would humble ourselves and that we would bow down before the Lord Jesus and we would approach Him in the heart of our dear brother and beg for forgiveness, take care of matters. That is how close the Lord Jesus is here in God's kingdom, in this stable here upon the earth. He is there beside us. He is there in front of you. He is there behind you. We are surrounded by this grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father. And it is so important.
that we preserve love and peace and righteousness, that we would not give that offense and that strife to turn it into a cancer and into a, it begins to ferment and to cause confusion and every evil work. This is why the wise men then were rejoicing with exceeding great joy, experiencing that living word of our Heavenly Father. That star of Bethlehem appeared before them. And they continued, and it says here that when they came there, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Yes, only by faith. And that is why, dear brother and sister, it is important for us that we would every day approach this place of this child. And that we would thank God for this gift that He has given unto us. Indeed, to us, it is Christmas every day. It's quite remarkable here. And they fell down and worshipped Him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts. Oh, how important this is. You know, we live in a time of vast materialism. We live in a time of vast selfishness, self-centeredness of man. And many believe that man indeed himself is God, and there is no other living God but man. This part is very important. And they fell down and worshipped Him, and when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto Him gifts. And what does this refer to? Dear brother and sister, every child of God has God-given gifts. It's extremely important. That we approach the Lord Jesus, our dear brother and sister in living faith, in whom's heart the Lord Jesus dwells. And those gifts that God has given unto us, that we would freely use them here in God's kingdom. Helping one another. Isn't that so? Isn't that what the Word of God reminds us this morning? And that we set aside all the sinful lust of the flesh, the strife, the envy, all that. And we approach the Lord Jesus in the hearts of His own, with those gifts that God has given us, and that we would use with those gifts to uplift and to comfort and to carry and to lovingly rebuke and to remind. And why is that so important? Because we need this care of our Heavenly Father. We need this care every day. Yes, these wise men brought temporal gifts, without question. There was a reason and a purpose even for those. Mary and Joseph had to flee Bethlehem because of the wrath of the king. That gold that those wise men gave unto them, helped this poor family move from Bethlehem many days' journey into Egypt and live in a foreign country. And that gold provided for their everyday bread. That frankincense, we've heard much of oils in this day and age, and one would have to say that, well, frankincense in that day was more precious than gold. It was considered a healing ointment, an oil of some sort, and myrrh likewise. But what's important to remember is that we bring our gifts before our Heavenly Father, that we bring Him to that place of a child, that we would approach one another with the gifts that God has given us, and that we would freely use them. It's important. Dear brother and sister, do not belittle the gift that God has given you, the gifts that God has given you. Be bold in the Holy Spirit. And use these gifts to help one another, to remind one another, to comfort one another, and oh, how much we have needed comfort and seek comfort. The trial and difficulty of life are many and varied. You know, there was one old speaker, brother, years ago we heard him say these words, and in this particular time it was at a wedding to a young couple, but these words are intended for everyone, every day. And those words were simply this: go in the peace of God and serve the Lord with joy. That's the simplicity of living faith. All we need to cling to is this lowly Christ child daily, and approach Him with our gifts and help one another. And in this way, our Heavenly Father does His work here in our midst. Believe, dear brother and sister, all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. You who've been tempted in many ways and carried a burden and debt of sin, and you who have been so doubt-ridden, and you who have been so sorrowful and yearning, and you who, dear brother and sister, simply need to believe. Freely believe this gospel. All sin and doubt is forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And I also need to hear this gospel, that can I have many, many doubts and sins also forgiven. I certainly desire to plead with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.